This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, rim works, yeah! The big dog's got it.
ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Roundtable is brought to you by Crane Works. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Tom Luganville.
A little birdie tells me Lugs does have some midweek action. Hello, Lugs. How are you?
You're darn right I do. I'm doing really good, guys. I've got Buffalo at Ohio on Wednesday night on ESPN2.
There you go.
Very, very good Matt game.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Great Matt game. I tell you what, man, that guy, a lot of people who aren't familiar with him, Lance Leipold, who's the head coach at Buffalo, the job he's done in, what, three or four short years, people may not know, he was the guy that was the head coach at Wisconsin Whitewater that played in seven straight Division III national championship games. So he's a dude, man. He's going to be moving up here pretty quickly.
Is Tyree Jackson the Cam Newton version of the Mac?
Yes and no. I don't know if he's that dynamic of a runner. He kind of reminds me of Andre Woodson when he was at Kentucky and they had those really good 9-win seasons. But they are, I mean, they've got Johnson on the perimeter receiver. They've got a true freshman running back that is just out of sight. And then they've got the quarterback. So in that league, man, like I always say, you could take all the uniforms and change them on the teams, and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between anybody except for who the quarterback is. That's a quarterback-driven league.
Tom Luganville talking football with us. Everyone in the country is pointing to 1:30 NBC Syracuse Notre Dame Yankee Stadium as a possible elimination game for Notre Dame that Syracuse can pull the upset. They've even come up with the hashtag Scaracuse for Notre Dame. Should Notre Dame be scared of this orange team?
Yeah, I believe they should be very concerned, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, this is a team that has a lot of confidence right now. They actually believe that, wait a minute, we're pretty good. And I think that carries a lot of weight. The one thing that I look at with this game is how disruptive Syracuse is on defense. I'm going to throw out some things that are pretty alarming to you because this is part of my scouting piece this week at ESPN.com. So there are three teams in major college football that create pressure on opposing quarterbacks better than Syracuse: Alabama, Clemson, and Miami. Syracuse is number four there. They are second in the ACC with sacks, only behind Clemson. They're probably on pace to break their school record, which would be 41. They've got 33 right now. And they've got 37% of the plays that they play on defense result in zero or negative yards for the opposition, which is a pretty staggering number. And then they force 25 turnovers. That's second most in the FBS. So all of the things that they're doing on defense, given the fact that they can run the ball on offense, they've got a dynamic quarterback in Eric Dungy, they just kind of seem to have that recipe for success. So if I'm a Notre Dame fan, I've got to be very, very concerned because all the pressure's on Notre Dame. None of the pressure's on Syracuse here.
Syracuse just put the nail in Bobby Petrino's coffin, and I heard the quote of the week yesterday that Art Briles has his new OC in hell in Bobby Petrino.
Wow!
But in all seriousness, do you think Bobby Petrino will coach again?
I could see that happening, yeah. I just don't know if there would be Power 5 relevancy to it. And if there was, it would probably be at a place that is just starving for notoriety, starving to create some buzz or some success. And that would mean that the program is really, really down. And so then you ask yourself, if you're Bobby Petrino at this stage in my life, I just deposited a check for $14 million. Do I want to get into that? Do I want to do that? And I think that would ultimately be the question, is what type of job would Bobby Petrino want to take?
ESPN's Tom Luganville is with us, and he joins us each week on the Bud Light Hotline, courtesy of Crane Works. Don't forget the Rental Works division of Crane Works. Selling new and used equipment, just look for the big dog. It dominates Birmingham skyline, just like those cranes have for decades. When you look at Oklahoma on film, their pass defense is just atrocious. And Oklahoma State, I mean, they went up and down the field on them. Lance just gave me a stat I can't believe, Lugs, and I wonder if you've ever seen this. Oak State had 20 first downs on first down plays. They got 20 first downs on first down play. It's crazy. Is it scheme? Is it a product of Big 12 offenses? Are they really that bad on defense?
It's not just Oklahoma, guys. It's everybody in the league.
And, yeah.
And I think that, first and foremost, it is the thing that stands out to me is the personnel on defense in the front seven. There's no disruptors in that conference. Now think about it. What do we always talk about with, you know, the fronts at Georgia and the fronts at Alabama or the fronts at Michigan right now or Ohio State? They all have guys that can change the complexion of the game. When you walk onto a field in pregame warm-up of a Big 12 game, you see none of those guys on the defensive side of the football. Sometimes it's even hard to come up with a name of just one in that conference where you're saying, oh, yeah, this guy's a guy that is different than everybody else. There isn't one. And so when you don't have the ability to dominate in the trenches, to get people off schedule, to be able to create a pass rush or a run-stopping defense with a four-man front, not having to pressure people, how are you supposed to defend what is the most difficult era of college football for coaches on defense? You can't do it because you can't tackle in space. The quarterback's got all day to throw. It's an impossible task. And until that changes from a personnel standpoint, and listen, it may not. Because when you look at the footprint that those teams are recruiting from outside of the state of Texas, which by and large doesn't produce a bunch of difference makers in the defensive front, you'll get a handful every now and then. Most of the population of the recruiting pool are skill guys. And that's fine, that's great, but that's only going to take you so far. And so I don't know if we point to Oklahoma as it being staggering, and I get it, but it's not just them. It's conference-wide.
Tom Luginbill of ESPN on his way to do Buffalo and Ohio and a lot more football this weekend. We're on the front porch of watching UAB win their division championship this past week. They'll play in the Conference USA championship game. And now they sort of have house money going to play an SEC team down at Kyle Field in Texas A&M. And with their defense, they got a chance in this game, Luges. And I want you to talk about what it would mean for UAB footprint-wise here in the South to beat an SEC team, not a Vandy, not a Kentucky, but a team like Texas A&M this weekend?
Oh, I think it would be, number one, it would be a statement about the state of the program and the viability of the program going forward. I think that's the biggest thing. How much would it play a huge impact on, you know, immediate recruiting efforts? I don't know how realistic that is. I think UAB can do that on their own through investment of facility enhancements. If they were ever to get themselves in a position to have a better game day facility, all of those different things would probably help more than beating a team like Texas A&M. But just getting on the field and being a competitive element against Texas A&M, I think is what they have to do. I would be very disappointed in this team if they went down to Kyle Field and laid an egg. I don't think they'll do that. I don't think that's what their makeup is. But even if they don't beat Texas A&M and they play them competitively, given the player pool that they're drawing from in recruiting, the conference affiliation that they have some advantages. If they could add on the resources side, this could be an absolute dynamo of a program in the mold of a UCF or a USF when they've been at their best. But I think their biggest problem, regardless of what happens with the Texas A&M game, is going to be holding on to their coach. Because if I'm Louisville, I'm calling him. And I think that guy has done such a remarkable job. I don't even know if you can really put it in perspective, the job that he has done. And so I think that's going to be their greatest challenge. How do they keep Bill Clark in Birmingham?
Luginbill, I know you're not a coach killer, but based on what I've seen from USC the last few weeks, there's a good chance they lose this week to UCLA and then they lose to Notre Dame and they go 5-7. A bad year at USC right now should be 9-3. A couple of questions. Do you think Len Swann will retain Clay Helton, and how good is this job right now?
So, number one, I do not think Clay Helton will be the head coach at USC at the end of the year. I don't know if it's all Clay Helton. I think it's a variety of things. But you mentioned Len Swann and how good is this job. What I have a hard time with USC is they are so self-involved when it comes to one of their own and, you know, being a USC guy. Well, let me tell you what you've done as a university. You've now two times in a row hired somebody from a broadcast booth to be your athletic director and run a multi-million dollar athletic department with no clue what they're doing. So I think that has a negative impact on all of the athletic resources, all of the coaches for all of the sports, and football drives the bus there. And so when it comes to whether or not that's a good job, yes, do I think it's a good job? Do I think it's a great job? Yeah, I do. Do I think that internally it is dysfunctional? Absolutely, I do. So in my opinion, what they've got to do from a head, they've got to hire a very strong personality. Clay Helton's a really good coach, and he may be too good of a guy. They need a strong personality there as a head coach, and they need to not take the easy route or the comfort route. They need to go out and act like they're USC when they're searching for a coach, and I do believe that, unfortunately, they'll be searching for one.
All right, before you go, two things. Number one, we'll ask you more about this game when it is actual Iron Bowl week, but just early blush, your first thought about the Iron Bowl.
I think that Auburn in the position that they're in right now, with their inability to stop the run and their inability to prevent explosive plays, it's a potential recipe for disaster. It really is. And I hate to say that a rivalry like this between two storied programs will be super lopsided, but unfortunately that may be the case in this year's iteration.
I know you're a Stan Lee fan or a fan of his work. So
yeah.
The best Stan Lee production, character, movie, just your thoughts on his passing.
Well, you know, I've never been a comic book guy, but I've had a great affinity for the films, and what he and Marvel created has allowed for the films to be what they are now, which they wouldn't have been able to be 25, 30 years ago. And he's created a world for people. I think it's awesome. He's created a getaway. He's created a space of entertainment. And to go 95 years and to do cameos in all of those films and to be able to be the guy that spearheaded and created all of this stuff that is worth billions of dollars now, all because of a pencil and a piece of paper. I think that's pretty remarkable.
And I went Logan number one. I don't even think it's close. I don't know where you are on that.
Oh, on Marvel's side?
Yeah.
Logan number one, on par with probably The Dark Knight on the DC side. But I think you could also make the argument that as good as Logan was, this franchise does not become what it has become without the unknown Iron Man of 2008 becoming a hit.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming, and it changed everything from every film thereafter.
He is ESPN's Tom Luganville. See him midweek action, and then see him. Where are you Saturday?
Saturday, I'm Ohio State at Maryland, ABC noon, which, you know, could be pretty interesting. Ohio State, they're kind of like lingering. Nobody's talking about them, but they're there. They're in it, and nobody seems to be talking about them.
They play ugly. All right, Luke.
Well, their quarterback ain't ugly, I'll tell you that.
Safe travels. Woo! We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Thank you. ESPN's Tom Luganville on the Bud Light Hotline. Don't forget Bud Light Game Night every Thursday back at Top Golf this week, 5 to 7. And Luganville is presented each week by Craneworks.
Hey, Tom Luganville here from ESPN. With offices in Birmingham, Mobile, and Nashville, Craneworks is the Southeast leader for crane and equipment rental. Give Craneworks a call for your next lift, machinery moving, or rigging project. And don't forget, the Rental Works division is ready to serve you with a full line of rental equipment for jobs both big and small. And they offer something the other rental guys can't. Qualified operators for all equipment, including aerial and earth-moving equipment. So give the big dog a call or visit them at craneworks.com.
Always get Lance's Lock on Twitter, @TheLanceTaylor.